Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. Mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter number 16. The book of Acts in chapter number 16. We've been continuing with this series of the life of the Apostle Paul, and if you did happen to miss a message, it's been good so far. You could always go on our website, riverviewbc.com, and listen to some of the messages you've missed and to catch up. It has been a very great series. I've enjoyed it very much, and we want you to be helped by it as well. Well, we're in the book of Acts, chapter 16, and we're in the midst of Paul's second missionary journey. And in the midst of Paul's second missionary journey, we have watched as Paul has picked up a brand new missionary team. And now this is a big deal because it's just not Paul traveling by himself, but he has a missionary team. And with this team, each of them have their own different aspects of the ministry, their own support roles, their own things going on. And we've been doing character studies of some of the people that the Apostle Paul's met and how they've helped him. We've examined so far on Paul's missionary team, Silas, who is a chief man among brethren, and he's been right up there in the forefront helping Paul and working and preaching. We saw Timothy and saw this young man that in the second missionary journey, Paul is doing a lot of discipleship with him. But as he grows up, what's going to happen is that Paul is going to use him to oversee churches that have been started and to help raise and appoint pastors for those churches. And then he catches up with Paul and he's going to be used to start many different churches. Tonight, we're going to cover another person of Paul's missionary team. And if you don't mind, let's pick it up in the book of Acts, chapter number 16. Remember, we've covered on Wednesday the Macedonian call that Paul was inhibited by the Holy Spirit to go further into Asia, but instead to turn into Europe. And that was a direct affects us directly today because of this. This morning we saw as he went to the city of Philippi and what happens in the ministry. We saw a case study. But in the midst of this, we are pointed out with a pronoun change that shows another person who has been added to the team. Pick it up if you don't mind in the book of Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, and notice with me starting at verse number 10. Acts 16 and verse number 10, notice what the Bible says. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, and assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came straight with a straight course into Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis. And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony, and we were there in that city abiding certain days. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, will you mark a change of pronoun that we find in these three verses in verse number 10, where it says, we endeavored. At the end of verse 10, it says, called us to preach. And verse number 12, once again, we see that we were in that city abiding certain days. And the reason why this pronoun changes is because we have a new person who has joined Paul's missionary team by the name of Dr. Luke. By Dr. Luke. And if you don't mind, I'd like to do a character study on this very important person of Paul's missionary team, Dr. Luke. And if you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God, a God who's worthy to be worshiped and worthy to be served. And as we approach this message here and we examine the person of Dr. Luke, help us to be encouraged to see what you can do with a person using their talents for the Lord and using it to help the man of God to advance forward for what you would have those people to do. I'm asking that this would be clear, that it would be understandable, that it would be a help, and that you would use this to help all of us to move forward and what you would have this church to have accomplished. Once again, Lord, I recognize my infirmities, my frailties, recognizing I need you. So once again, I come up to you and beg, Lord, that you fill me with your Spirit. Please, Lord, do your own work tonight. Set aside any conceptions I have, ambitions, goals, desires, and that you just be God and you get everything done. Clear my mind and let me just be used of you tonight. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So far in the book of Acts, we have always seen things written in the third person, meaning that it's always been a narrative that's been far away, that it's talking about what Paul did here and what Peter did here. But now we have a change of pronouns. We see no longer is it being referred to in the third person, but now he is using words like we and us. This is because Dr. Luke has now joined the missionary team, and he is recording what he is an eyewitness of during this time. He is traveling with Paul, and now he's recording what he's been going through. He goes with him in Philippi, and he records what occurs during the Philippian jailer, what happens with Lydia, the seller of purple. He's there, and he's actually recording and writing, almost like a journal. This is what we were doing. This is what we were happening. And even though he's still in the background, Dr. Luke doesn't say, "Hey, it's me!" He says, "We," and he's there as an eyewitness. He's there traveling along with it. If you don't mind, look, turn with me to the book of Acts in chapter number 1. Acts in chapter number 1, and I would like you to show you how this epistle, this letter of Acts is actually addressed. Notice with me, as Dr. Luke is starting this in Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. Notice this. Acts 1:1. "The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach." Now, he's addressing this letter to a man by the name of Theophilus. So, the book of Acts is not written to a church. It's written to an individual. Luke is actually writing a personal letter and says, "Theophilus, let me tell you all the things that's happening." By the way, the former treatise that he's talking about is the gospel record of Luke, by the way, which is also written to Theophilus. It's not written to a church or a group. It's a letter written to a man. Dr. Luke says, "Let me tell you all the things that happened." And he wrote the gospel record of Luke. Now we see part two, as he writes a brand new letter to Theophilus. He says, "Now that I told you about Jesus and all the things that Jesus did, let me tell you about what's going on now with the church." And he begins to write this letter. Imagine writing this personal letter by hand to just one person. And he says, "Here, I want to tell you about everything that happens." Now, Theophilus has always been an important part of Dr. Luke's life because Dr. Luke started off as a slave in the house of Theophilus. And Theophilus Theophilus sent Luke to medical school while he was still a slave. He says, "Hey, you got some aptitude in the medical things. Let's send you to medical school. I'm going to send you to become a medical doctor." And it was... And so Dr. Luke was sent. And then while he was, after he got back, somewhere along the line, Dr. Luke came to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And Dr. Luke, from what we understand from history, is that he won Theophilus to the Lord. Theophilus became a Christian, and eventually Theophilus freed Dr. Luke and said, "You're no longer a slave. You go ahead and do what you believe the Lord would have you to do." And Dr. Luke was given his freedom. But Dr. Luke got his medical degree while he was a slave. Someone paid for it, sent him to medical school so he could be a help. And then later on, he was freed. It's also been suggested that Dr. Luke and Paul actually met each other while they were in Tarsus, the educational city. And they already had a past history. And later on, when Paul met Luke again, he says, "Oh man, you need to come with me. We could do some things together." But that's a little bit of a background. As we examine Dr. Luke, there's three aspects of Dr. Luke's life that I would like to go over and explain about how Dr. Luke was used in three different specific ways. First of all, I'd like to show you about Dr. Luke, the historian. The historian. That Dr. Luke, one of his aspects in the ministries that God used him was a historian. He was a historian. Now, Imperial Rome, there was an accrediting college at Rome that supervised the licensing of all medical doctors, which was called the Collegium arcturium. So Dr. Luke was actually a licensed medical physician. Even way back then, they licensed doctors, and that's how it was. He was a licensed physician. He just wasn't a quack. He was someone who was trained and licensed. By the way, God is going to use his medical profession and what God has prepared him to do. And even though he didn't have any choice on it, he had Theophilus that said, "I'm sending you to medical school." And he said, "All right, that's what you want." He went to medical school. And even though they weren't planning on it, God was going to use the choices that were made for him to bring him to the place where he could be the best help. Isn't it a wonderful thing that God knows how to prepare people and how to bring people? Now, with Dr. Luke being a historian, one of the things about Dr. Luke is that he had a very logical mind, a very studious mind to go to medical school. You had to study. You had to be able to know how to process information, how to research, how to put things together. And God is going to use this researching ability to turn him and use him to be the great historian of two specific events. First of all, he was an historian of Christ. He was the historian of Christ. That Christ was the only Gentile, major Gentile writer of the Bible. And so he was not Jewish. He was a Greek. And yet God used him to be one of the human penmen of the Word of God. That while Paul was imprisoned in Caesarea, inside of Israel. Caesarea was the Roman capital of Palestine. Paul was imprisoned there as the Jewish people had charged him with crimes. That Dr. Luke decided while Paul was in prison, he was going to go out and find eyewitnesses of the accounts of the Lord Jesus Christ. That he would go and interview them. So imagine in your mind, if you don't mind, that he would go up to Mary, the mother of Jesus. Remember, over and over in the Bible talks about that Mary hid those things in her heart. That she would witness these things and she hid them in her heart. Well, guess what? Dr. Luke set up an interview and he said, "Tell us about when Jesus Christ was born." And so we have Luke chapter number 2, which records about the shepherds. It records about the things that happened. It records how Jesus, when he was 12 years old, that they went to the temple. And how he was talking with the doctors. Remember, they had lost Jesus. They had traveled and realized he wasn't there. And had to go back for 3 days. And they found him there. And it says that Mary hid those things in her heart. They went back and he was able to give an eyewitness and record those things. He was able to go and sit with some of the disciples. Tell us about some of the stories that Jesus told. Tell us a little bit about the miracles. Tell us about the things that happened. And so for 2 years, Dr. Luke had a great liberty to go travel and to go and find all of these eyewitnesses and to speak for them. That's why Luke's account is one of the most complete accounts of the gospel records. And his records actually record 6 miracles of Jesus that none of the other gospel records records. That Dr. Luke's accounts also records 35 parables, 19 of them which are not in any other record. And there's different stories that Dr. Luke has, like the Good Samaritan. Some of you enjoy the Good Samaritan. That's found in Luke. That's only found in Luke. The rich fool, the prodigal son, the rich steward, the rich man and Lazarus, the Pharisee and the publican. So these are just examples of some of the stories that Dr. Luke has in his gospel record that the rest of them don't. And part of it was because of his research ability, to be able to talk and to get the eyewitness and just to pin down history, the history of Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Luke also had a Pauline view of Calvary. After all, he traveled with Paul for a while, so he adopted some of those terminologies. He often used words like grace, salvation, and Savior. Those are found throughout Dr. Luke's writings, again, because of the influence of Paul. Now, not only was Dr. Luke the historian of Christ, he was also the historian of the church. That he was able to go by and also record what happened during Paul's missionary journey. Now, Dr. Luke actually comes in the very beginning part of Paul's second missionary journey. And so he traveled with Paul for the rest of the second missionary journey, the third missionary journey, the imprisonments of Paul and his bringing to Rome, and Dr. Luke was there for the whole thing. And so he's not just recording from what he's researched, he's there. He's watching as Paul deals with this person. He's watching as Paul is starting this church. He's witnessing what happens as he's dealing with this and dealing with this. And he's recording all of this down as firsthand information as he's watching. Now, the book of Acts is just one of the great tie-ins between the gospel records and the epistles. If you did not have the book of Acts, there would be a great gap in between Jesus Christ and his disciples, and then all of a sudden the epistles talking about a fully formed church and how to run a church. You would be missing some great information. How in the world did we get from Jesus dying on the cross and telling his disciples, go tell everyone, to running a church, a group of baptized believers voluntarily gathering themselves together for the purpose of the Great Commission. So the book of Acts is a great transitional book that is very vital to understand how we got from here and Jesus and the cross to the churches operating and running and reaching the world. The book of Acts covers that transition. Now, in the book of Acts, the Dr. Luke actually covers Acts in three different movements. We have the foundation, founding emphasis of the church. We have the forward emphasis of the church, and then the foreign emphasis of the church. So it starts off, how was the church founded after Christ ascended to heaven? And then after that, how did the church move forward and start reaching people? Till finally, the last part of the book of Acts is how the foreign emphasis, how they gave the gospel to every creature, and how they went out to the foreign lands telling people about Jesus Christ. So as we examine Dr. Luke, we can see that God has specially equipped him and specially made him to be that analytical mind, to be the researcher, to have that ability, and to allow him to, first of all, be the historian. The historian. But we also see Dr. Luke in a different light. Not only was he the historian, but we also see Dr. Luke as the helper. Dr. Luke as the helper. Now, as you examine the book of Acts, you see Paul very much in the forefront from Acts chapter 12 on. And as you see that, Paul did not necessarily have a very easy life. Take, for example, he goes to Lystra. And he goes to Lystra and preaches the gospel. They don't like him, so they stone him and kill him. Well, that will probably leave a scar or two. We saw here in the book of in the book of Acts in the city of Philippi this morning, how they arrested him in front of everyone and they beat him publicly. Now, by the way, this is not a very fun event. What they do is they take a whip and they slash it across someone's back and they beat him publicly. And they remember, afterwards, they put him in a dark dungeon without any bandages inside of a damp, dark dungeon with slime all over, dark, without any bandages. And he had to be under there for a while. That probably wasn't good for his health. As you read on, you see he was through shipwrecks. He went through beatings. He went through different rods to his back. He went through different things. After a while, that takes a toll on your body. In addition, they also said that Paul had an eye disease, and that caused him. Some people describe him later on in his life that his eyes looked like they were bugging out just a bit. And Paul, by the way, wasn't a Peter. Peter was big, tall, burly. Paul was short, bald, imagine bug eyes. People said they didn't like to look at Paul. They loved to hear his messages, but he wasn't something you really liked to look at. And he's hunched over a little bit with his back. How much of a blessing of God would have been to travel with your own personal physician? Some of you can imagine already the pains that you have, and you haven't gone through the beatings and the shipwrecks. To wake up in the morning and stiff and you could barely move. How important was it that God provided a licensed medical physician to tend to Paul? Now again, Dr. Luke isn't saying, and here's how I treated the patient, and this is how I kept Paul going. He's willing to work in the background. He's not looking for attention. But yet it was Dr. Luke that cared for Paul's needs. He cared for Paul. He kept him going. He had a great helper ministry. He used the talents that God had gave him. And he said, here is a preacher. Dr. Luke says, I'm not a preacher. I don't want to preach. I'm not supposed to touch the pulpit. That's Paul's job. What my job is to use the talents that God gave me to help the man of God continue to be the man of God. To help the preacher do what he's supposed to do. To help be the support. To help him going. To encourage him on. To do what he needs to take care of his needs. To do what I can so he can keep going on. You know, that support role is very important. I was in the Air Force, and people say, when you were in the Air Force, did you fly planes? No, it wasn't my job. They say, well, what do you do in the Air Force? Isn't there only pilots? Actually, there's a huge support staff. They tell us, maybe just to encourage us, but they tell us in all the briefings that everyone's important. That they say that it takes 150 support crew to keep one plane up in the air. That everyone has a job to do. Whether it's the doctors keeping them going, whether it's the crew chiefs that keeps the plane going, that's important to make sure the plane runs, right? You know, to load the bombs, to do all, that takes a lot of support crew to keep one plane in the air. Well, the same thing's true. To have a preacher who's going to be well used of God, he cannot do it by himself. He cannot. It doesn't matter how talented he is, he cannot do it by himself. It requires a support team. It requires people to say, I love this preacher and God has his hand on him. And I'm going to use my time, my talents, my fire to do what it can to keep him going. Now, again, as a preacher, that sounds like it's hard to preach. But at the same time, it's important to know, to find a preacher, to get behind them, to encourage them, to keep them going. If it's someone that God has his hand on, use what God has given to you. And God has given everyone someone. Many of you will say, please don't let me preach. I don't want to come up to the pulpit and preach. It's not my job. I don't want that. Please don't. Someone's got to do it though, right? But you have an important job too, to help support, to help go, to get behind them, to keep them moving forward. Maybe sometimes it is an encouragement. We talked about this morning the difficulties of the ministry. Now, I may be annoyingly happy and I keep looking to the Lord. But, you know, maybe sometime there's some day where I've been in a fight and it doesn't. And it may be just your call, your card, your whatever else. That says, you know what, still worth it. I think I'm going to keep going. You know how much that means? That one time that God said, you know, do something nice for the pastor. Now, you understand, I'm not trying to get people to be nice. I'm trying to teach what the Bible says. But you never know if God prompts you, it may be you that helps the preacher keep going another day. Keep going another Sunday. That keeps going just a little bit more. With all the things that are going on, you can be used in a special way to use your time, your talent, whatever God has equipped you with. Here specifically, God knew before Dr. Luke ever got saved, before Paul ever got saved, that God had a plan for Paul's life. And he knew all the turmoils and all the troubles he was going to go through. So God said, you know, I want to be a blessing. I got to keep Paul going. I know his body is going to fall apart. Let's give him a doctor to keep him going. Wasn't God wise to do that? And even though Dr. Luke doesn't get press, he doesn't brag about himself, he was necessary to keep Paul going. There were times that Paul thought he was going to die. He's laying in Troas and he actually thinks he's going to die. Guess who's at his bedside keeping him going? Dr. Luke. It was Dr. Luke. Jesus, of course, was helping him out and doing everything. But it was Dr. Luke that was there. It was Dr. Luke that kept him going. We see Dr. Luke as the helper. We're examining Dr. Luke and examine the different ways that God used him. We see him as the historian. We see Dr. Luke as the helper. But there's one other aspect of the ministry that God had provided for Dr. Luke. And that was Dr. Luke, the hero. Dr. Luke, the hero. Now, when Paul was arrested in Jerusalem, he was kept in jail at Caesarea. And during that time, he was put on trial by Festus and by Felix. Finally, Paul had enough and said, I'm a Roman citizen. I now reserve my right to appeal to Caesar. Send me to Caesar and let him judge whether I'm guilty or not. Now, that surprised everyone because they were not expecting it. The Roman government governors who were holding Paul, they were just wanting a bribe. Hey, man, you go ahead and fork some money over. We'll let you go. But Paul said, I'm not having any of that. I am not guilty. And so you go ahead and send me to Caesar. Now, at this time, Nero is the in charge. Now, at the time that Paul said, let me go see Caesar, Nero had not gone crazy yet. Nero, in his first 5 years of being the Roman Caesar, he was still a good guy. He still had Senecas, who was a Stoic philosopher, and Africanus Burnus, who was the honest perfect of the Praetorian Guard. And both of these guys kept Nero in line. Well, he finally got tired of the philosopher telling him what to do, and the Praetorian Guard died. And that's going to cause some problems. But Paul was brought to Rome and he was put on house arrest. He was there for 2 years and waiting trial. Now, what's happening is that there was a Roman law that says if someone appeals to Caesar and you don't have valid charges, you get put to death. Well, guess what? No one showed up to accuse Paul. So after 2 years, they finally said, all right, no one's coming for you, Paul. You go ahead and be released. And so Paul was released from house arrest and he began to travel once again. He began to preach and began to start churches. He started traveling all over the place. Then Nero went crazy. Many of you have heard about Nero, that Nero, he divorced his wife, married a new wife who happened to be a Jew girl, a lady. And she loved the Jewish people, but hated Christians. So she's already telling her husband about how evil Christians are. And they had different things they said about Christians during the day. Now, the one thing about Christians is that they did not have a home country, meaning they didn't come from Israel. They didn't come from Spain. They were splattered all over the place. And so no country claimed to be their homeland. So Nero, who was starting to go very, very crazy, decided he was going to have some fun. He always pretended to be a great director and believed the world was a great play and a great stage. So he burnt Rome. He caught Rome on fire and all the wooden houses of Rome just instantly went up. And it said that as Rome is burning, it said that Nero was actually looking. There's an old saying that as Rome burned, Nero played, and had the idea he was playing a fiddle. That's not necessarily true, but it is true that he oversaw this great fire and was imagining directing a great play with the fires springing up. Well, the next day when the fires are out, I just burnt down Rome. People are not going to be happy that I burnt down Rome. I know it wasn't me. It was those Christians. And so he blamed the Christians. And he outlawed Christianity and caused a great persecution that any Christian you could find, you need to kill. And so the race was on. They caught Peter and they caught Paul. Paul is now put into prison. This time it is not a nice house arrest. He is now placed into the maritime prison. By the way, you could go to Rome now and see that maritime prison. And it is not a wonderful place. It is a deep, dark dungeon. Now, at this time, the prisoners are allowed to have visitors. The reason why is because the prison did not feed its prisoners. The only way he got food is if someone came and delivered food to him. And the only person that stayed behind was Dr. Luke. That whereas people quit, like Demas has forsaken me, loving this present world, there were some people that Paul sent off. Paul writes in 2 Timothy, only Luke is with me. So when it's all said and done, after all the churches that Paul has started, when it's all said and done, Paul's in prison. He's in a deep, dark prison. He's got health problems. The only way he gets food is by Dr. Luke bringing him food. The only medical attention he got was when Dr. Luke came to change his bandages and to take care of his health. That here, Paul is in a dungeon. And remember, why is he in the dungeon? Because Christianity has now been outlawed. And Nero is now trying to kill all the people who call themselves Christians. So would you like to be there in Rome and say, hey, I'm a Christian. Can I go visit Paul, the leader of Christianity? No. But here was Dr. Luke, willing to brave it out because he said, that's my preacher. I'm going to stand with my preacher. I know my preacher's in jail, but I'm here to take care of him. I know my preacher's in trouble. I'm here to take care of his needs. And so it was Dr. Luke, day by day, to bring Paul food. Day by day, to take care of his medical problems. Day by day, to help support and encourage his preacher. Until finally, Nero decided to give Paul a shortcut to glory. Paul was beheaded for the cause of Christ. But here was Dr. Luke, standing beside his preacher, that even when Paul is writing a letter to Timothy and say, you need to come quickly, it's going to be over soon, bring Mark, for he's profitable to me. And he says, only Luke is with me. Only Luke is with me. When everyone else abandoned him for one reason or another, it was Dr. Luke that was with Paul to the very end. And so as we study and we're bringing up this man of Dr. Luke, he doesn't give himself a pat on the back. He doesn't advertise what he's doing. But we do see Dr. Luke working in the background. And while he's working in the background, he's there to support his preacher. As he's working in the background, he's doing what he can to be a blessing to the man of God that God has set before him, to keep him going. And he had the skills to help him going medically. He had the ability to help him when the thing was down. That God has used Dr. Luke in a very special way. And by the way, your greatest ability is your availability. That God has put you in different positions. God has made some of you mechanics to help be a blessing to those. God has helped use some of you. Some of you have great skills, proofreading skills. Some of you have other things. And all of those things could be used to help further, to help support the preacher, to help support the church, to help support the things going on. That God has made you in a special way. Sometimes some of you are just made to smile at the preacher and say how much you love him. And that keeps him going. You know, God has made you guys for special reason for such a time as this. And that you may not get the accolades, you may not get the name in lights, and many of you don't want your name in lights. But the one thing is that God knows what you're doing. And He knows how those things you do is meant to be an encouragement to the man of God God has set there. And as the man of God is doing the work that God has placed him to do, it's those people beside him that keep him going. It's the people beside him that support to allow that man of God to be the person that God intended to be. And that's what we see from Dr. Luke. That we see him as the historian. We see him as the helper. We also see him as a hero, that he was able to stand by his preacher. Even when everyone else quit on him, he said, I'm going to stand by my preacher and I'm going to be a help. Even when it seems like no one else will be there. What an encouragement Dr. Luke is. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.